Welcome to the Bartz FM podcast. This is Scott Kesterson, and tonight you're listening to Invasion USA, the Duncan Report number 3.
This war is real. Fighting is everything. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Tempt not the righteous man to draw his sword. Conviction, righteousness, ruthlessness. To understand tolerance, you have to understand the line of intolerance. War is the teacher, soldiers are the students. They become the bards of war.
Good evening, patriots, and today is Friday, November 19th, and it is quite a day. Of course, we had the big news earlier today of Kyle Rittenhouse not guilty on all 5 charges, which is fantastic. The jury did its job. It's a real day for victory for we the people. I apologize for starting a bit late tonight. It's been a lot of that today. I did the live broadcast, which was unexpected, on Kyle Rittenhouse. I had 2 interviews, and then I joined the Resistance Chicks on their fantastic show earlier on Brighty on TV, and literally finished my last interview just before this show 30 minutes ago and still had some work to do on the Duncan interview. So here we are, and everybody's here, and it's good to see everybody. Before we begin tonight, MyPillow is one of the great Patriot sponsors and fighters for this nation for liberty. We have a fantastic support with them, and we have our own page, which is the MyPillow.com/Bards page, which we're really honored to have. Thanks to all you great patriots for all the great support you've given them. So head on over to MyPillow.com/Bards. Your promo code is Bards, B-A-R-D-S. Take advantage of all the great savings across the entire site. You'll have a landing page. It's some great highlight savings there, from pillows to sheets to slippers, all great gifts for Christmas. But then take advantage of everything across the entire site of MyPillow, My Store, and FrankSpeech.com. The same promo code, BARDS, B-A-R-D-S, works everywhere. And if you are so inclined and feel you must speak to a human being, then dial 800-975-2939, 800-975-2939, where you'll speak to a Patriot Pillow Counselor, and I'm sure they'll make you feel better, especially if you give them your credit card, and then you'll be on your way. So again, mypillow.com/Bards. That's the homepage for the Bards Nation on MyPillow, and your promo code is Bards for all the great savings on all their sites. Also, Expedition Coffee, X-P-E-D, expeditioncoffee.com. This is really the coffee that is built for warriors. And by the way, no sellout on liberal stuff here, like Black Rifle Coffee, if you kind of heard what I said there. This is a true patriot coffee, expeditioncoffee.com, built for your health, built for your strength, built for your focus. And one of the principal designers behind this coffee is who? None other than Dr. Eric Napudi, one of the great patriot and Christians of our time. So, patriots, jump on over to expeditioncoffee.com. That's X-P-E-D, expeditioncoffee.com. Check out the coffee. Also, while you're there, check out the other fantastic supplements for your health, which, frankly, that whole package that's on that page is all you're going to need to fight this nasty bioweapon environment we are now living in, which includes the Gut Health Triad, which includes Earth, a fantastic full-body supplement that's in a shake form. You have the Immune XP, which is a high vitamin C content based on pine cone extract, and the Stellar product, which is Pure 47, the highest silver extract product on the market today. So again, Expedition Coffee, X-P-E-D, expeditioncoffee.com is where it's all going to happen. All right, patriots. So just a couple quick comments on the Rittenhouse case. As I discussed earlier, you should check out the discussion I had with Resistance Chicks on their show on Brighty on TV. We got into some interesting things, which I'll go in more detail about tonight on the Fishers of Men show, but just kind of looking at the intricacies of how much people got played on this thing and how deep this corruption really goes. This is deep. The Kyle Rittenhouse case gives us a glimpse into all of the workings of what are going on between the FBI, the intelligence agencies, probably members of DHS, and who knows who else. This is deep corruption, a deep tyranny of government, a government that is now turned on us, and we have to be aware of that. And that's going to come out in tonight's interview with Duncan, because he's done a great job of literally following the story. I can't compliment him enough. One of the easy things to do when you do these sorts of projects, as I have done, is it's easy to get wrapped up into the things that are Easy Before You or The Glory Story, meaning like combat or action or things like that. The hard stories to do, which is really how I was mentored and trained, is to follow where the facts lead you. And the conclusions you draw aren't always glorious and fantastic for film, but the truth literally sets you free. And Duncan's got some great hard truths to talk about tonight that I'm excited to share. So without further ado, this interview is about 49 minutes, and we'll get into it here and bring Duncan on as our great Patriot reporter for Bard's Nation. So here's Duncan. Well, Patriots, once again, we have Duncan from Mexico calling in, or at Mexican border, Texas-Mexican border, I guess I should say, because Mexico hasn't taken the United States quite yet. Let's hope not. But anyway, really honored to have Duncan on again. He's doing some great work, and he's going to give us an update today from what is going on down there on the southern border, what we're referring to as Invasion USA. And a lot of the things that he's uncovering to give us the truth of what's really going on. So, Duncan, welcome to the show. How are things going down there?
Things are going pretty good. There's been some pretty sketchy moments, but like I said, we kind of push through those and focus on why we're here. Like I said, fortunately, we've got some really great people around here. We've made some wonderful connections. One of them I'll be mentioning later on in the show.
All right. So give us a little update from last week, because last week you were looking at... You'd been over to the Air Force base a little bit. You just kind of picked up some tracking signs of possible movement of U.S. aircraft moving illegals into the area. You were also keeping your eye on this emerging threat of invasion across the border. What have we got going on this week?
All right. Well, first off, we started with the Air Force base. So we met a guy down here. His name is U.S. Border Patriot. Some of you may have followed him. He is on Facebook and I believe on YouTube as well. And he is a local in this area. And he has been kind of eyeing the Air Force base. Well, we were out there looking at the Air Force base when he actually came up and we started talking. And he pointed out these buses. He's got a friend that lives in the area that calls him and tells him when these buses are coming in. And we were focusing, you know, unfortunately, the Air Force runway from where we are is probably about a quarter of a mile. So the camera that I have right now doesn't zoom in as far as I'd like it to. But we were talking to Monkey Works, and we have confirmed that one of the jumbo jets that looked like it was being flown in, guarded by two of the Talon jets. And we kind of been watching again to see what their routines are. And that was very unroutine from what I usually see. So I do believe that those planes flew that jumbo jet in with Swift Air. So it's a civilian airline, as well as a bunch of Lears and stuff like that, which aren't uncommon. They're CIA jets and so forth, and they're also jets that they train in. But the buses that are bringing in, U.S. Border Patriot has actually got some really good footage, which I can link to you, and we're going to be getting from him so that I can actually put it up on my Rumble, of immigrants being unloaded from those buses onto the Air Force base, which we find to be very odd. Like, I'm not going to speculate yet because this is a big deal. And the last thing I want is military and government coming after me. So we have been back to the border entry points like multiple times a day, different times at nighttime and the morning time, which just seems to be the big time where these guys are coming in, because I believe that the river is a little bit lower for some reason. So they kind of just come across, they scoot on across. On the main entry point, which you guys see often on Fox News, NBC, that one same area that you see on the news, in order to get onto that exact property, you have to pay the owner who owns otherwise it's trespassing. So they give money to these people. Now, as long as many places we've been, as much as we're down there, we have yet to see anybody with our own eyes crossing those entry points, which I started thinking, I was like, well, how is Fox and NBC and these other companies always seem to be there when these people are coming across, when we're adamant about catching this stuff and still can't see it? Same thing when I was telling you last week, as we were in Eagle Pass, trying to find all this stuff. And then Sarah Carter just happens to be there when this first group comes through. Now, one thing that we did notice this past weekend, our drone operators were down here. So we were kind of all over the place, and it gets really quiet on the weekends, even so much so that the state troopers and the National Guard aren't roaming around like they usually are. So we heard some megaphones from the other side of the border telling people to back up. So it's almost like they're on Saturday and Sunday, the migration seems to just shut down, which is really, really odd, because you think that a migration would be something that happens 7 days a week. We went to the main entry point 2 days ago, and we kind of went down this back road, and we're allowed to, there was no trespassing. But the moment we hit a certain point, we had Border Patrol behind us. And then once we curbed around the road, we had state trooper in front of us who stopped us, opened the door to talk to us. And this guy was phenomenal, super nice guy. He was kind of giving us a rundown of some of the stuff that he's seen. And the first thing he said was, since he's been here for a couple of months, he has not seen any Haitians, any Cubans or anything like that. He said it's all people from Venezuela and Mexico, but in very small numbers. And he went on further and was telling us that they asked these people like where they're going. Well, first off, they kind of like border collies, move them around to a separate area, because the moment that they walk up on someone's property, they have to arrest them for trespassing. So they're actually putting them around about 150 yards around the corner into this spot that was excavated, opened up so that they could actually come through. That way they can just be processed, ask where they're going. Some of them say they're going to Houston, some say Atlanta, some say Minnesota, and they literally let them go. So if the state troopers get to them, they arrest them. But this is what's happening, the National Guard and the Border Patrol. Like I said, they almost herd these people around like border collies. And I noticed that as quiet as it's been recently, once all the news started filling up with these trials, I mean, they're not talking about the Ghislaine Maxwell thing, which I think is the biggest thing ever, but they're swamping our news up with all this stuff just to kind of keep the news cycle busy. And that's when I noticed a little bit more migration around our area, all through Texas, actually picking up a little bit. So it kind of proves my point that I was saying last week, is that they're using this as more of a distraction than anything. And the main, you know, we don't see too many groups of just single guys coming through. It always seems to be small families, which the news are they're picking up on immediately, which just backs up what I was saying last week, that this is all just a big giant show. Some of the families that are coming through, just one example, the officer that we talked to referred to this one lady who paid a cab driver $400 to move around to the spot. Then she was ushered in across the border thinking that she was getting around paying the cartel. And the officers explained to her, no, actually, you paid the cartel. That you don't pay $400 for a 30-minute taxi ride. So a lot of the people that are, as I call them, that are pawns, you know, there's people that legitimately want to come here. It's illegal, but they really want to come over here. They're not doing it for nefarious reasons, but they're all, like I said, they don't even realize sometimes that they're being ushered in by the cartels. Some of them do, but like in this particular case, not. So we asked the officer, are we allowed to be here? Can we go here? And he was talking in a normal voice. And then all of a sudden he lowered his voice when he was like, well, it's your First Amendment right. And he didn't want Border Patrol to hear him say that, which I kind of took me back a little bit. I'm like, well, it's our First Amendment. You know, we're allowed to do what we're doing right here. But it was odd that he lowered his voice to say that, so the Border Patrol didn't hear him actually say that, because they don't want us here, obviously. So fortunately, we met this U.S. Border Patriot who's down here. He lives in this area, and he's verifying, because we're kind of running this past him because we want to know, like, are we on target? And he says that we're dead on target. We're picking up exactly what he's been seeing. We told you last week that there was a bus, Greyhound bus, that pulled up to a gas station. People were given papers, and we're walking onto this Greyhound bus. So we're starting to see that almost every day now. And we've had locals verify that that's exactly what they're doing, is they're shipping these people out just even on public transit through this area. We also noticed that a lot of the immigrants that are coming up through here, same thing here, Eagle Pass, all the way down to Roma, Brownsville, with Southern Texas, they all have these like waterproof bags to put their phones in, to put their clothes in, and all the stuff to keep them dry when they're crossing the water. And my question is, where are they getting these bags from? Because they're the same exact bags. So it just shows you that this isn't just some random group of people that are coming up here. There's someone on the other side that's coordinating all of this.
Do you think that there is an assembly place somewhere in Mexico that these massive people are holding up, and that they're holding that back? Evidence that we have right now from you is that there's no signs on the border of any large camps.
Yeah.
The question that we have to find out is if there is a large camp somewhere, in which case there should be a major humanitarian issue going on at the numbers that we were talking about. And we've discussed that before, because that's a logistics nightmare. If you have 300,000 people, even if they're broken up into groups, you're talking about food, you're talking about disposal of human waste, you're talking about showers. That infrastructure has to be there somewhere, especially now that we've supposedly had this migrant caravan in this numbers we're talking about moving for weeks. We've seen no signs of this other than some of the dramatic footage that the media happened to pull that was pushing through the National Guard lines. The other caveat I add to that, which is something that just keeps sticking in the back of my head, is Steve Bannon had a reporter down there that was with that migrant group and saying that it was all real, and yet we have not seen anything on our side to indicate that that is what is actually happening. What are your thoughts here?
I think that the large group, that 300,000, I don't believe it. At this point, I just don't believe it. Because I'm seeing right now, I've gotten some intel from locals and from other people like Nikki, one of your moderators, who has kind of given me a little bit of information. And I've actually had this verified as well, is they've been in Chihuahua. And we knew that Chihuahua, Mexico, we've known that since we got here. And it was a smaller group of like maybe 2,000. Monkey from Monkey Works has been keeping his eye on that too, just following the drones and the movement of aircraft around that area. So that's how we know where they are. And apparently they're splitting up into even smaller groups. And some of them are heading into Yuma, Arizona at this point. So we're going to keep our eyes on that area as well. But we're seeing them kind of spread out even over this little area that we are. Brackensville, Eagle Pass, Del Rio, all in the same area. And you have small groups of like 100 that are coming through. Families are being put in the front. And there are some younger guys that are all dressed in black that are behind them. But like I said, it's a rather small groups of, I'd say, less than 100. So, you know, just like you said, with the big group of 300,000 or 30,000 plus, you've got all the stuff that you have to deal with, like feeding all these people, bathroom, and so forth. And then you notice that all these people are coming in with cell phones that are functioning cell phones. So how do you energize these cell phones? I can see a small group going into a town, maybe finding a plug. But if there's supposedly 30,000 or 300,000 people in one gigantic group, how are they coming in with functioning cell phones? I mean, you know, and how are they affording it? If they're coming over to our country because they, you know, their place is so bad that they can't afford anything and they're looking for a better place, why are they all sporting iPhones that are better than the one that I've got? Like I said, I absolutely believe that there is coordination here. I believe that they're splitting them into pieces just to kind of create an illusion that it's a bigger issue than it seems. Because like I said earlier, is that our mainstream media always seems to be right there with their cameras when these groups come in. And we've got two adamant, independent journalists right here with me and Stan who are all over the place at these entry points just trying to get this stuff on camera. And we never, ever, ever see it. And it's not our lack of trying. So I honestly believe that these news organizations are getting phone calls and they're saying, all right, show up here at this time. And that's how they always are, just happen to be at the right spot at the right time, because it certainly isn't for our lack of trying. And that's to create the illusion that it's coming in constantly, which it's not.
Well, this would reinforce something I saw in Afghanistan. So let's roll back there real quick and put some parallels here. Media would come into southern Afghanistan. They would seek to get an embed and always trying to find the action shots. But I have seen one person being Jim Masita, which was he was their war correspondent from NBC. I've seen him firsthand literally stand on a runway and make up a story that he was in combat as jets from Kandahar were taking off on normal sorties just to go over and do patrols in the regions of Helmand. So we know that that acting and that lying is indicative to how they report, because it always has to be the headliner and dramatic story. So the other thing that I follow that with, though, as you're talking, is the comments you made about private property where these journalists are going on, that they have to pay to get into that location.
Yes.
Those landowners then are sounding like they're in cahoots with the media organizations. Is that a fair jump?
I would say that's a fair jump. Matter of fact, last week we were talking about land purchases. And I've called real estate and so forth and tried to understand a little bit more about that. But one thing that I did find was they're purchasing hotels. and they're putting people into these hotels, you know, basically to kind of get them out of the way or out of sight.
Who is they?
They didn't tell me, but I believe it's local politicians, government, or something like that. But it's, or maybe cartels, but it's somebody that has money that's purchasing the hotels and using them for this reason. So I had heard that. I mentioned it to Stan, and Stan was like, you know what? U.S. Border Patriot verified that to me earlier. So this is two different sources that are saying the same exact thing, is that they're using these hotels for this. Now, I'm not going to get into this too much, but I've been followed recently over the last 4 or 5 days. And a guy approached me. He knew exactly why we were here. And I'd never seen this guy before in my life. Knew exactly why we were here and invited me back to what he called it a runner house. And he said that a lot of the runners are there, which are the immigrants, and said that there's coyotes and so forth at this place too. Well, I mean, I'm all about getting a good story, but I'm not stupid. And I felt like I was being set up. But that also validates what we're saying, is that they've got these places where they're actually harboring these people in the time that it takes to get them on a bus and out of town. So, a lot of really weird things have happened over the last couple of days. But the weird one is especially this one particular guy who said he worked at a restaurant, which is right behind where I'm staying, but they don't know who he is. And he's come out trying to get my phone number. I've blown him off. I basically don't even, I go right from the car into the hotel at this point.
He's going to like you in that kilt. He's going to turn you into a sex hand puppet for the cartel.
I know, man. Probably exactly. They were trying to set me up because they love the Scottish guy down here in the kilt. And it's funny, like, I get some weird looks around here because the Mexicans around this area don't understand the Scottish culture like in most of the states where I'm at. So it's pretty funny. They look at me a little bit differently. And I'm like, no, I promise you, I'm a pretty manly guy.
Yeah, you'd be like, hey, look at that cute little guy over there in the skirt. Let's turn him into one of our new high-value sex trafficking toys. That's what they're looking at.
Exactly. I figured the best thing that could come from that would be being robbing me.
Well, yeah, I mean, they could make a lot of money on you, Duncan. They could sell you like 1,000 times. That's better than drugs.
Oh, yeah, exactly. But I'll just let them know I'm boring after a while. You don't want me.
All right, so those stories are starting to evolve to paint a pretty interesting picture that most of the U.S. public is being played once again by a seditious and treasonous media that's including Fox News in these stories, which I know I read the other night on one of our chats that, like, oh, Sarah Carter was doing some good reporting. If Sarah Carter is showing up at a predestined point to tell a story that you can't find, then the indications are that she's part of the same racket, that they're getting tips and that these stories are being framed so that they get the shot. And I will, just to reinforce that, this is often the way media works, is they bring them in into these moments that are already set up and they're like, here it is, film it. And so they're given a short time window and they film the story and they do the interviews. It's dramatic. You put 300 or 400 people in a spot, or even you can put 50 to 100 people in a spot, and they're going to get this story of like, oh, there's so many more of us on the other side of the border without any proof of this.
Yeah.
That is what is evolving from what you're seeing. Is that correct? Or something like that?
Yeah, something like that. Like I said, it's just, you know, it's not that I don't trust Sarah Carter herself, but I don't trust Fox News. And I just found it really odd. Like I said, we were down there going around trying to talk to anyone we could to get information about a group that we had heard came in, and no one would even talk to us. And then all of a sudden, like I said, we flip on the news and she's riding around with Border Patrol or National Guard giving her a ride around showing her all this stuff. And the timing of it, like I said, they always seem to be there when we know we are nonstop. Like I said, I'm certain that Sarah Carter doesn't run around as much as we do trying to find this, like day after day, hour after hour, doing it at night, doing it first thing in the morning. We were out there at 6 o'clock yesterday morning because we heard there was a group coming in, but the temperature dropped down into the 40s. So that may have stopped them. I don't know. But even the officers that are out there that will talk to us are like, yeah, we've been waiting for this group of 2,000 for a couple of weeks now, you know, and that's some of the group that I hear is splitting off and heading up into Arizona.
You just hit a critical thing, which is weather. What has the weather been like down on the border?
Weather has been roughly during the 80s at night, maybe 65 at night, 80s during the daytime. It's been really, really nice here. It never rains here. It threatened rain one time. We had a couple of storms that lasted like 30 minutes one day or one evening while we were here. Other than that, like, they don't get much rain. And I've actually been inquiring about that. The temperature, when cold fronts come through, the rain kind of surpasses this. It gets a little bit colder. And this is the first time that it's actually dropped into the upper 40s at nighttime. But when you're crossing over the Rio Grande River, I'd imagine that kind of changes everything when you've got families not wanting to get pneumonia when it's 40 degrees outside. And from what they're saying is the majority of the activity, it almost like clockwork, if there's anyone that comes through, it's either early in the morning, like between 2-3 in the morning on to maybe 9 or 10. And then you'll notice that a lot of the National Guard, there'll only be one truck instead of a couple, or one officer's state trooper vehicle instead of the three that were there. So it's almost like a routine.
It's sounding that way, especially since you mentioned that there's the activity drops on the weekend, which makes no sense.
Zero sense. And it's noticeable even around town, because we were kind of wanting to verify this. We're like, is this something that we're just seeing or what? All of the state troopers' vehicles are parked in the hotel parking lots on the weekends. I mean, this place becomes so much slower driving around to the border wall. It's another thing I want to tell you is that the border wall that we showed you on one of my last videos that hasn't been completed yet, they are actually still working on. We talked to the foreman, and the foreman was very reluctant, but he said that they are still building it. They're preparing it for the actual fence pieces to come in, and that the government is funding this. But they usually have National Guard out in that area, and on the weekends, they're just not there.
So that's interesting. So somewhere the money is still coming, but you haven't been able to verify what government agency is funding it.
No, and he was very reluctant. And one thing that I noticed around here is if you start pushing too hard, you not only lose that connection or that contact, but you lose anyone that you're talking to that they know. So we have to be real gentle about, you know, how hard we push to get information. And we were just glad that, you know, Stan got the information that this is actually government funded. So we both had the feeling that this was more federal than state.
All right. So let's go to that point a minute. When you talk about when you're pushing for information, you're not referring to locals. You're talking about when you're dealing with government or state officials, correct?
Oh, no, I'll push government. I've got no problem pushing them. I'm referring to the locals because, like I said, the locals are kind enough to give us this information. And the last thing you want to do is upset someone or push them too hard. And then, because it's not this isn't a big area. Stuff gets around, and we don't want to end connections around the area. So if they, you know, we'll mention things a couple of times, and if they're just absolutely not wanting to mention something, then we just don't push it because we want to go back and talk to them again later, and maybe they'll be a little bit more open to telling us. So we were both happy that the guy admitted that this is actually being funded by the government, because there's an area around here where Abbott is funding, and he's using the shipping containers to make a wall. But they're all in like the areas that you really wouldn't think migrants would come through, because their eyes are on this area. They're like kind of, it's almost like they're walking into a city. And you guys have all seen the bridge that the Haitians were under. And one day they're there, they're all over the place. There's like, looks like hundreds of thousands of them. There's lots of them. And then all of a sudden, like 2 days later, they're all gone. That place is completely cleaned out. So we can't get to that bridge because they require, it's harder to get back onto this side than it is to get over there, because they require certain ID and so forth. But you can see it from the entry point, and it's like right there. I mean, every day you'll have like hour waits of cars coming in from Mexico to the United States, and like one or two cars every now and then going into Mexico. But that international bridge is right there. So why would a group push right into such a populated area that is literally right at the point of entry to get into our country? And it's the same thing with these cargo shipping containers that they're using kind of to make a makeshift wall. And then they've got National Guard spread out in their Humvees every 20 feet. I mean, it literally looks like a photo op. So when this guy, who's the foreman here. He's basically getting the land ready. He's hardening it. He's taking the sand. They're putting water on top of it. And I've got some footage, which will be in my next video, showing them working on this area, preparing for those next fence pieces to come, or the wall, not the fence, but the border wall to come in.
This is interesting. What you're saying is that in the areas where you're looking, from the bridge to the concentration of National Guard to the concentrations of border crossing people, are all in the all put together in one location, and that's where the stories are coming out of. Is that correct?
Yes, they're isolated. Like I said, the bridge that you see on television, right there in one spot. It's the place that has the little shipping containers that are being built. Is also in a very public area. And then the entry point that you see on television where they're walking across the Rio Grande to that little dock area is also the same area that they always seem to go to. So it's not like, and they are kind of spread around, but like I said, this is where the show seems to be, where they're, you know, like I said, kind of feeding you their story.
All right, so this gets to where now when you mentioned like Abbott putting up containers. I've never trusted Abbott. I'm just going to be clear about this. I know people are trying to give him a lot of kudos, but I don't trust him because of just his connections and his background.
Me neither.
So this is sounding to me like, again, what we've been witnessing is that you've got these two lines. You've got the kind of the extreme side, which are the Democrats, and then you've got these deep rhinos, which are Republicans.
Yes.
They're all working together, but it's kind of two different games. One, it's a good cop, bad cop. It's the
yes.
Democrats going, oh, we need open borders. And the good cops say, no, we must protect the borders. And the whole thing is a scam to begin with because it's siphoning money somewhere into their pockets. But in the meantime, they're loading up in key areas where traffic, which is where the stories come from, making it look like we're getting overwhelmed. Is that fair?
Absolutely. I would call this an illusion of choice. And that's exactly what it is. I told you about the large amounts of National Guard that are up here. I mean, it is absolute overkill, 100% overkill. And the locals agree with it. U.S. Border Patriot 100% agrees with it. They've actually moved their camp from the fairgrounds over to what's called Camp Bravo now. So we've got that on video as well. But the National Guard has gotten really, where they were a little bit more open to talk about it, saying, hey, yeah, come talk to our PAO. Like, basically, they give us stare downs now. Like, it's become a completely different situation because I think that the word's getting around. We're on a radar right now. And we had drones over the watching over us when we were out at the Air Force base. So we are 100% on the radar. And I think it's because we're exposing the show. And that's literally what it is. It's all overkill because you got to remember Greg Abbott is going to be up. They're running against him for governor here, I believe, next year. So it's just like any politician, they play their game. They'll do their rhino stuff, but when it comes time for their elections, they try to act like they're on your side again. And then they'll do exactly like that Youngstown guy in Virginia does, is he turns on his campaign promises the moment that he gets elected.
Absolutely. Here, what we're witnessing really is the same party playing good cop, bad cop on a topic that's being channeled and funneled through their one mouthpiece, which is the entire network of mainstream media, to portray a story that it's the loyal, hard-fighting patriots against the evil empire and trying to save America from a massive invasion, when in fact there really isn't much of an invasion going on, but in the process, everybody's getting a whole bunch of money, from deployment money to mobilization monies to money building, this or that. And I'm not saying there isn't a threat, but it's this point in time, it's nowhere near the magnitude of what we're talking about. Is that about what you're saying?
That's exactly what I'm saying. I mean, this is basically like Star Wars. You've got Palpatine playing the good side and the bad side, but it's still one guy who's pretending to be good and bad. And that's kind of what we're looking at. We've got people that are working on the same side, pretending to be on different sides, fighting each other to give you the illusion that they're fighting for you.
This is really now like the Truman Show. People, I hope, are starting to get to that point where they're climbing the stairs, about ready to walk out the door, right? We're on that edge, because the reality is that our government, its media, its politicians, the voices, even so much of the leadership in our military has bought into this circus game. And that's the military-industrial complex, the intelligence communities. It's the many even of the of people that are playing into the game are doing so because they need to gain. I mean, it's not they need to. They are gaining massive revenue from this, and they're all being sucked into the same play, where the U.S. American citizen on the ground is has a completely different narrative. What's the threat that the locals are feeling from the border issue? Because there is something there to that.
Oh, yeah. I mean, literally, we're funding all of this stuff. We are the ones who are feeding these people's pockets. Like I said, I mean, at this point, you know, we could probably have like 10 National Guards down here, you know, just it, per area, and we'd be fine. So they're funding this. Like I said, it's like a big business. We've had many people that explained it as this was a once sleepy town. And since this all began, I mean, it's almost like industries are moving in here. It's become obvious that this is a big business. And I'm going to get you connected with a U.S. Border Patriot who lives in this area, who is a great person to explain how this has become like an industry in this area.
Well, you've hit that point from the very beginning. There was something unusual about this, about the growth of business down on the border from the big Walmarts to everything else, that there was definitely something drawing corporations there. I think when we start to run the tails of the money, if we could do that, my suspicion would be, without drawing a conclusion, but I would suspect that where we would find ourselves going is finding out that from the cartels to the illegal immigrants to the payments to the National Guard to the mobilization money for the police to Abbott to the mainstream media, that pool of money is all coming out of central sources to fund the entire operation, which is really literally a film studio.
Yeah, that's kind of what it feels like.
Interesting. All right, so what is the next part of the focus for your stories?
I'm still kind of trying to get more on the real estate because I want to find out where these land purchases are happening. People are hesitant. That's the one great thing about the contact that we made. He had to leave town for the weekend, but he'll be back in on Monday. So I'm hoping to get him to show me some of these areas from the ranchers and stuff that are being their lands being purchased. Also going to the local feed store, which is where all the ranchers are. And we've been told to go up there because the ranchers are the ones that are pissed off the most. They're just, you know, upset because, like I said, their land's being invaded. Their water's being used. You know, they got animals and stuff they've got to watch out for. So they're the ones that are having to see this the very most, just not on the big scale that we're talking about. And because there's always been migration. But like I said, is they're kind of on the same thing as we are, is that this isn't just some random migration, that what is coming up here is being pushed up for a reason. I'm also looking deeper into what's going on at the Air Force base, because I'm really curious is, are we shipping? Cause we know they've even admitted in the White House that they're flying people around, you know, the early morning flights, as Psaki said. But I want to know if it's directly happening through our Air Force. And I know I'm probably going to step on some toes. I know we're already on their radar, but I'm just as curious as could possibly be, because I just would be devastated to find out that our government is literally that involved in this.
You better be ready to be devastated, because that's what you're going to find.
Oh, I know.
All right, so let's talk about the ranchers, because I think that's one of the important threads you need to dig into, and this is why. We're talking about a show on one hand, and yet we're leaving the true protection as it's just a leaky sieve. And the areas that need protection, which are their land rights, which is what we should be protecting, and ensuring that there aren't illegals on their land so they can run their businesses and do their operations, are intentionally being ignored and have been ignored for as most of the time we've had this border crisis. So I would really hope that you could dig into some really good interviews on the ranchers on the border.
Yep, that's kind of going to be one of my big focuses coming up here, because they're the ones, they're the boots on the ground. They see everything that's going on. It's their properties that are being invaded. And like I said, they are not happy about this at all. So much so that, like I said, as you're hearing, like our buddy that I'll be introducing you to, U.S. Border Patriot, is thinking about running for Congress. This is a rather large district. And they're trying to do everything they possibly can to make changes around here and get the dirt out of the politics. Because these ranchers, I mean, as far as I'm concerned, they're probably trying to demoralize them so that they can get their land bought for cheap and get them out of here.
Again, we're back to this follow the money and follow the power, right? I mean, this is, we're doing some speculation here, but it's important to kind of consider what we're looking at, because if we're not seeing a land invasion, we know that there's been purchases made, and you can start privately holding the land on the border. You can now create a legal transfer across the border, because the U.S. government is not going to intervene on private property, at least not unless there's a motivation to do so. The question really right now is finding the true sources of who has the knowledge.
Yes.
This sounds a lot like a compartmentalization going on with knowledge, where the troopers are told to go someplace and sit and just do a job. They're not giving any context. The guard is probably doing the same. They're obeying orders. Don't talk to media unless you have a PAO with you. Go here, do this, and obey. Somewhere up that food chain, somebody has a bigger picture of what's going on.
Yep.
And that's going to be the picture we want to grab, but it's going to be the hardest one to find.
Yeah, exactly. Like, fortunately, you know, we're very kind and nice, you know, we're non-threatening. So we do get some of the officers to talk a little bit more than they normally would. That's how we found out about this particular entry point. But like I said, is, you know, for the most of the time, they're sitting out there in this one spot with their boots up on the dashboard.
That's amazing. Eagle Point, as it's been popping up a lot in the news, you and I have shared some articles on that.
Yes.
And yet that is also a major entry point. So again, that question of why is it that you would take your band of illegals as a coyote and you would push them across the major entry points? And that's not going to happen. That just doesn't make any tactical or logical sense.
No. Yeah, exactly. Like I said, is they're literally being processed, talked to, asked where you're going, and then released.
All right. So what are those types of numbers? Do you have any idea? We're not talking of hundreds of thousands. We're talking of what, tens and twenties?
Yeah, I'd say tens and twenties. Like, the groups that have been coming through in this area have been rather small. The biggest group that I've heard in Eagle Pass is a group of 100 that supposedly came in last week. There was four MS-13 that they caught hiding in some trees or whatever. And I mean, I figured in the woods and stuff, you could be able to hide pretty well. But I mean, but they do have the drones with the night vision that are, you know, kind of keeping an eye on them. They caught some chunking drugs, but this was down in southern Texas. But once again, you and I had discussed, why would you come in to southern Texas, which is one of the harder states on migration? You know, for the most part, we mess around a little bit less than like Arizona would. So when you're coming in through Roma, Brownsville, McAllen area, you have nowhere to go but through Texas. And Texas is a huge state. So it's not like you can get out of it in 6 hours. So it makes more sense that they're coming up this direction, but it just seems like they're just sending in groups all up and down the border just to create this illusion that it's happening all over the place in bigger numbers than it is. But 30,000, 100,000, 300,000 people working their way up, it would be easy to see, and you're not seeing it.
All right, so give us some idea on logistics from where you are. From the town you're at, how far is it to the next town into the continental United States?
Next town over from us would be Brackensville, which is about 45 minutes away. Eagle Pass is just a little bit over an hour. And then we are about 6.5 hours from El Paso, 6.5 hours away from Brownsville. So we're kind of centered. And then Yuma, Arizona is not that far from like where they are in Chihuahua. It's almost like it's an equal distance from where they are to Yuma, over to El Paso, and over to here.
And in between there is pretty much open land and desert, correct?
Lots of it. This isn't like most states where when you're going from one city to another, you've got little towns and stuff in between. Like, if anything, it's kind of a home here, a home there, with all the rusted cars out, you know, in the old ranches. But for the most part, it is absolute, like, miles and miles of open land.
And much of that land is private, or all of it?
Yes. Yes, a good part of it, especially on the side between here and Mexico. And then you've got hunting areas, which are kind of on the other side.
All right, so this has to be understood, I think, in the perspective of this. If someone comes into where you are, and they are, say, they have now supposedly, by the story being told to us, they have walked for all these hundreds of miles. Once they get across the U.S. border, they now have, from the town you're at, to the next town for supplies, which means water, food, they have a 45-mile distance, which, to put that in perspective, that is about a day and a half to 2 days of hard walking in an area where there is private lands to deal with, fences to go over.
Yes.
And there's no water and no food.
Yep.
So unless they get into a bus, which is shuttling them to someplace in the country, there would have to be a strewn of bodies ultimately because they aren't fed or watered.
Exactly.
And since you're seeing a few buses, but you're not seeing, you're talking a convoy of buses is what we're talking about here.
Yeah, that's what you would expect to see. And like I said, is we see maybe one bus in the morning, and then recently been seeing one in the afternoon, just a single Greyhound buses. I've got the footage of them standing out by the gas station holding their papers, but it's not a convoy. And plus, you'd think driving back and forth, you'd be passing loads of these people on the road.
Which you're not.
Not at all.
Yeah, this is a Truman Show we're looking at then. This whole thing is just to get people's eyes off of some of the key issues that are happening.
Exactly.
And it's to keep people divided. That's the key, is to keep the left, this liberal left that thinks it's winning a big game of getting all these illegals in, and they're seeing enough busloads coming into the blue cities to validate their belief. It's all about trickle. And then you've got enough people that are being shown that are illegals to get the right hating the left even more. So this is a divide and conquer strategy at the highest level, all being run and organized and orchestrated through the information flow, which is coming out of every single media outlet, including Fox.
Everything. Matter of fact, everything that's happening right now is about division. Even down to, you know, we've got one of the biggest trials in the world happening right now, which is the Ghislaine Maxwell. And we've gotten maybe an artist sketch out of it. But they're focusing on two different trials happening simultaneously, which they're trying to push off as racist shooters, creating division. Like, absolutely everything that's happening right now is purely based on keeping us divided, in my opinion, trying to push us into a civil war. And I'm grateful that the conservatives have been pretty relaxed and not, you know, jumping the gun and jumping into a war. Like, we all need to get active. We all need to start doing something. But like I said, is we don't need to fall for this ruse.
Down on the border, when you're talking to locals, how much division is there politically down there? Because they're right at the center point of this whole game.
Yeah, everyone around here kind of is very center or conservative. Even, you know, which the admitted Democrats are very center. They're all on the same page. There's not much division because they're seeing this stuff firsthand. Unlike the rest of this country, which is easy to get them to keep them divided because they're only getting their information from the media. And that's the biggest difference, is no matter what side of the political scale you're on, everyone seems to be on the same page.
Well, I think this is worth noting what you're pointing out. It's an actually a really important point. And that is that you just hit the key piece, centrist or conservative, which is the foundation of most American patriots. We know that the mainstream media is in the pocket of big corporations. We're out of Afghanistan now, and with that has been a loss of hundreds of millions, if not billions, of dollars in contracts. The military-industrial complex needs a war. They've been trying to rattle the sabers on the fight with China, and that's not going anywhere, though they keep elevating the concept of threat. And the one war that they do have is the war at the border. So you make up a complete story like this. And when you make up the story, then you start to elevate the need to have mobilizations. They're going to have new technology developments. They're going to come up with non-lethal systems that are going to deploy, et cetera, et cetera. I can go on the list. In the meantime, the locals are kind of sitting around here going, what is going on here? We have a problem, but you're not fixing the problem. You're just putting all the infrastructure into one location where nobody's really coming across. The media fans the flames of that. The U.S. public gets upset. Left and right fight each other. And the tax money that's used for that and everything else gets just shredded. I mean, literally, I mean, when I say shredded, it's like ripped out of people's pockets. This seems like where we are.
Yep, that's how, like I said, that's where everybody seems to be. Everything seems to be heading. And that's the great thing about having this contact down here. He lives here. Is he's verifying what we're finding. So it just gives a little bit more validity. Because like I said, he's here 24/7. You know, so it's good to have his input. And like I said, he's saying we're hitting the nail on the head.
Well, this is a great report, Duncan. You're doing some good work down there and really look forward to your next story. This is critical stuff. Now, I have a couple of people that I'm going to put you in touch with today that are ready to help you with the land research, and they're doing it. And I think this will help start trying to get to who's actually owning what and what's going to happen. So I'll get you in touch with those today, give you a better glimpse as to who's buying up property potentially and who's involved in this. Because, again, we have to follow the money on this at the end of the day. That's where this is all about.
Yes, exactly. Which is the hardest part, like I say, because they are good at hiding it.
Well, they own the game, right? And this is what I keep saying, is that we have to change the game. We can't play their game and expect for a different result. This line right now, from MAGA all the way over to Make America Communist Again, that span is all the same players. And like it or not, and I know this, you know, some people feel like they get stepped on when I say this, I'm not buying any of the line of MAGA. It's all about putting in new faces into the same old institutions to do the same garbage. The American people, at the end of the day, which is what you're talking about as locals down there, they're not political in the political spotlight. They have no political aspirations. They simply want to be Americans, and be Americans are centrist to conservative as a general rule. They typically have a strong faith, and they are completely outside of any sort of benefit that this other elite systems would be doing, other than cheap goods at Walmart. So this, we are going to have to, as a public, start to realize this, that we've got to get back to doing local, be locally involved, be local to our economies.
Yes.
Starting to do literal trade between counties, and break from this global corporate cabal, which is literally orchestrating most of this garbage, is what it seems to me.
Yep, I agree with you 100%. I mean, that's exactly what's happening right now. I mean, it's like I said, they're trying to create this one world government, and the only way to really do that is destroy, you know, national pride and make it look like it's a bad thing, when these people are just Americans wanting to live their life, work hard, get their hands dirty, take care of their family, and worship their God.
How do you see faith down there? Is it fairly strong?
Oh, absolutely. As a matter of fact, you know, it's an older area, and I was kind of looking around, and it's like, you know, I really haven't seen too many bars and no strip clubs or anything like that, which is really good, because it shows you how the faith in this area keeps those things from entering their little towns.
Well, again, great report. You're going to continue with what you're doing down there through this next week. And then what's your plan? You are going to stay down there till the end of the month. Is that the idea right now?
Yeah, that's the idea, is to stay down right towards the end of the month. I've got to go back in and do a quick little job, and I may end up coming back down after that, depending on what I'm seeing.
Fantastic.
But nonetheless, I'm maintaining my contacts. We've gotten really close to them, so we're going to still do Zoom interviews and stuff like that. So I'm going to carry on what I'm doing even once I get back.
Fantastic. Well, Duncan, be safe. Let's do a quick prayer before we go.
That sounds great.
Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for this meeting and this blessed opportunity to have Duncan down digging out the truth. And again, Lord, this is all about truth, and we ask that you'll continue to guide us to the pursuit of that truth, no matter where it leads. Sadly, Lord, we're being highly orchestrated and manipulated by a very seditious and devious media and leadership in our country that has ultimately missed the point of the loyalty to you and has followed the path of the corruption of materialism and money. We pray for those souls. We equally pray for the protection of Duncan and his team to continue to find those truths, to unravel those truths, to reveal them, to bring darkness to light so that it once again can't find darkness anymore to hide. And in so doing, to start to bring the realization to the many of what this game is that we've been thrown into, and how we are not as divided as we truly are, but in fact, when we seek you, we find unity and strength. And we say these things in Christ Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Great work. Just keep up the good work. I know that can be tiring down in these times. You're doing some really good work here, and you're finding the story that we need to find. This is the one that few people would pursue, I will tell you that, because it's not exciting. It doesn't have the drama of the immigration coming across the border, or the 100,000 men lined up with guns in a cross-border fighting. What we're seeing here is the story that's probably the most painful story, is to realize how much people are getting played.
Yes, yep, very much so. You know, it's you know, the truth isn't always exciting. And, you know, but that's what we're here for, is to actually get the truth out. We're not here to give you the story that you want to hear. We're here to give you the real story.
That's fantastic. All right, Duncan, we'll talk to you next week, or unless something major breaks, like the sudden arising of 1 million immigrants that hit the border right there at Eagle Point, right?
Sounds good, man. Hopefully it's not UN soldiers.
Right. And by the way, be careful of those guys that like you in the kilt.
Yeah, I definitely will. I'm going to start wearing my pants a little more. I had to go buy a pair just to keep the spiders and scorpions and stuff off me when we go to the backwoods. So I may go buy another pair of pants.
All right. Well, God bless. We'll talk to you soon.
God bless. Thank you.
Well, Patriots, that was Duncan's third week report from Mexico. I should say the Mexico-Texas border. Texas-Mexico border. Duncan's doing a fantastic job, and he's really doing what we all need to be doing, which is to pursue the truth, not with the objective of what we want as an outcome. There's a lot of that going on right now in the Patriot movement. A lot of people trying to fit things into events. Probably the biggest violators of that are the Q wackos right now. And they're all out there. They've missed the entire point, and they're trying to take and overlay everything into a current event situation to try to justify what was said. Fact of the matter is that we have a dynamic situation in our world, and it is dynamic to a large degree because it's being manipulated by key players on the top. We have a government that has turned against us. It is seditious and is treasonous. It is by definition a tyranny, and it's something that we are now facing with eyes wide open. And the more that we dig into this, just like with this case here, we're finding that there's an enormous amount of manipulation. We've seen it in the Kyle Rittenhouse case, where there was an enormous amount of manipulation of truth and media. We have to cut through that and get to the truth. We're reminded today with the Kyle Rittenhouse case that people standing together, doing their job, ignoring the threats of the media, ignoring the attempts of the media to dox and threaten, ignoring the effects of the intelligence communities to work against us and to threaten, that if we push hard, we will pursue and find the truth. And if we find the truth and we follow that, it's going to be an amazing time. Before I close tonight, I just want to make a quick mention that on Tuesday night, I did the interview today. I think you're going to absolutely love it. It's with Brad Cummings, a friend and a good friend and the general editor for the Founders Bible. We get into this discussion in a whole different way about where the role of the Patriot was and how brilliant our founding fathers were. You're going to love the interview on Tuesday. I'm also working with him right now to get a discount code for everybody so you can buy the Founders Bible at a discount. And I'll try to get that this weekend. So anyway, it is an amazing book. It's, by the way, it's one of only two Bibles that I know of that are now printed in the United States, by the way. The Founders Bible is printed in the United States. Great, great book. An amazing work that they've done to integrate what our founding fathers did. So just giving that little pitch ahead, because it all ties together as we start to take these shows and what we're putting together with knowledge we've gained. Also, if you didn't catch it today, I did do a special broadcast on the Kyle Rittenhouse case. That's already posted. That was live this afternoon at 12:30 p.m. Pacific time. That podcast is up. It's only about 20 minutes. Kind of got into that a little bit. And then again, like I mentioned, I was also on the Resistance Chicks show tonight, which are awesome. They're great. Make sure and watch them. They're over on Brighteon TV, among other places. They just do a fantastic show and just always doing the one most important thing, which is keeping God forward in all we do. So we need to support all of those actions and those people that are really looking at this fight the right way. As a final word for tonight, let us praise God for all these victories that we are having. Let us praise God and always give God first in the victories and fights that we have. This is the Lord's war. We are in the Lord's army, and the victories are the Lord's. We're simply soldiers on this fight. And as we praise God and make that call to Him and to the world to let them know where we stand, we're going to change this battlefield in big ways. So when you engage people at a school board, when you engage dirtbag politicians, whatever you're doing, if you're fighting at the corporate level to try to get your rights, do not forget to publicly, openly proclaim that this is the Lord's fight, and the Lord is going to win this fight, and we're simply the soldiers on the ground. We need to give praise where praise is due, and praise is always to Him. All right, Patriots, thank you. Sorry for a late start tonight, but I think it was a good show. I'll be back this evening for Fishers of Men in about an hour and a half. Until then, or until the next time, keep your head up and your eyes forward. Never bow to evil. Never relent. Always press into the fight. Our prayers are so important right now. They keep us focused. They keep our head in this in the right direction, always towards the cross. Most important thing. God is with us. He'll never forsake us. He's always there. And he's using us in an amazing way as he works through us. And we begin to reclaim a true sense of who we are as his children. So, in the end, he will win. We know that. But what a great journey and what a great honor to be in the fight that we're in right now with him. So, again, I'll see you tonight for Fishers of Men at 9 p.m. Pacific, midnight Eastern. Until then, or until the next time, God bless and out for now.
We shall pay any price, bear any burden, meet any hardship, support any friend, oppose any foe, to assure the survival and the success of liberty.
Every thoughtful citizen who despairs of war and wishes to bring peace should begin by looking inward, by examining his own attitude towards the possibilities of peace. Too many of us think it is impossible. Too many think it is unreal. But that is a dangerous, defeatist belief. It leads to the conclusion that war is inevitable, that mankind is doomed, that we are gripped by forces we cannot control. We need not accept that view. Our problems are man-made, therefore they can be solved by man, and man can be as big as he wants. No problem of human destiny is beyond human beings. Man's reason and spirit have often solved the seemingly unsolvable, and we believe they can do it again.
Surely the opening vistas of space promise high costs and hardships, as well as high reward. So it is not surprising that some would have us stay where we are a little longer, to rest, to wait. But this city of Houston, this state of Texas, this country of the United States was not built by those who waited and rested and wished to look behind them. This country was conquered by those who moved forward, and so will space. We choose to go to the moon in this decade and do the other thing, not because they are easy, but because they are hard. Because that challenge is one that we're willing to accept.
The energy, the faith, the devotion which we bring to this endeavor will light our country and all who serve it. And so, my fellow Americans, ask not what your country can do for you, ask what you can do for your country.
Has waited thousands of years to show its face. It has only one intent, to destroy God's light and to enslave. It has no scruples. It has no rules but one, to win at any cost. But we will never bow, for we are the remnant that will hold the line. This is war. We fight. We push. We climb. We never give in. We become the nightmare that evil didn't know could exist. We pray. We stand. We live by the words, "In God we trust." We fear nothing. We are the light that can never be extinguished. We are patriots. We are the digital army that will help deliver God's wrath.